Chris.
Yes, it is a privilege to be with you here again this morning. Wow, what powerful songs. Thank you for those songs. I believe in God. Yes, that's the foundation. That's the basis. That's why we're here this morning, right? Because we believe in God. And He will be with us till I enter my home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Living by faith. The Lord rules over all. And all of my worry is vain. How many of you are a little worried about life and what's going to happen in the next 24 days? I contend to do that too. May it drive us to our knees. May we be faithful in voting on our knees and submit and humble ourselves before God, cry out to Him for His will to be done, His sovereign will. Indeed, we need Him every hour. Every hour I need You, O God. Stay Thou nearby. I come to Thee. But let's remember, the battle belongs unto the Lord. We're no match for Satan and all the temptations and challenges of life. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah! He's victorious. He is raised from the dead. And that same power that was given to Him in the resurrection and the exaltation to the right hand of the Father is available to you and I. Hallelujah! What a Savior. This morning I want to share from Ephesians chapter 1 and one of Paul's prayers. I like to study Paul's prayers in Scripture. It helps me in my prayer life. And so we'll look at verses 15 through 23 in Ephesians. In these verses, Paul gives us the foundation of prayer, and then he shares his prayer request for spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Then in the verses 18 through B to 23, he teaches on the power of prayer that's based on our glorious living hope and the resurrection power of Christ Jesus our Lord that raised Him from the dead, and then, as I said earlier, exalted Him to the right hand of the Father, far above everything, all principalities and powers and so on. Billy Graham once wrote, "I heard about a young president of a company who instructed his secretary not to disturb him because he had an important appointment. The chairman of the board happened to come in and said to the secretary, 'I want to see the president, Mr. Jones.' The secretary answered, 'I'm terribly sorry, but he can't be disturbed. He has an important appointment.' The chairman became very angry. He banged open the door, and he saw the president of his corporation on his knees in prayer. The chairman softly closed the door and asked the secretary, 'Is this usual?' She said, 'Yes, he does this every morning.' The chairman of the board responded, 'No wonder I come to him for advice and counsel.'" Yes, to those who pray, God does promise wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Also, John Wesley once said, "Give me 100 prayer warriors who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen in the benches. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. Indeed, the hand of God is moved by our prayers. Paul was a powerful prayer warrior, and that's what made him such an effective witness and church planter. Another illustration, also my personal faith has been challenged as I have been so awed by what God has done and is doing in and through the ministry of Urban Lighthouse Spanish Church Plant and School in Harrisburg. And I believe that's because one of the basic reasons for what God is doing there in raising up the Spanish church and the school and the many miraculous answers to prayer was because that ministry was based on the foundation of prayer. From the very beginning, Rod and Krista had specified a certain room on the second floor on 1354 Vernon Street. And that's where they and the staff went for hours at a time. That's where our prayer meetings were held. That's where the Sunday evening staff and prayer time was held. And even before that famous movie came out, I can't think of it, the black lady and the prayer request on the wall and all that kind of stuff. That's what they did. We designated a wall where we put our prayer request up on notes. And we would fervently pray. And praise God, He miraculously answered in providing finances, in providing staff, in providing direction. And enabled that ministry to get started. And then all the miraculous answers to prayer and it continuing even to this day. And the spiritual battles that are being won. Lives are being miraculously saved and delivered from the power of Satan. Couples that have lived together are getting married. There are baptisms happening. The school this year has 44 students from kindergarten through grade 11. To God be the glory for the great things He has done and continues to do. And again, I believe that's based on the foundation of prayer. By the way, how is your prayer life these days? Is it for real? Is it fervent? Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, 15 to 23. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Praise God, each one of you and I that are a part of the body of Christ, that are part of His church, that He is the head of, we can experience the privilege and the power of prayer. Paul's prayer here serves as a good guide on how to pray for ourselves and for each other. Remember the great promise from James chapter 5, verse 16? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth or accomplishes much. Again, how effectual and fervent are we in our prayer lives these days? Paul's prayer for all believers is that we may understand and use the unlimited, great and mighty and powerful spiritual resources that are ours in Christ Jesus. The Word of God says there are abundant spiritual resources open to us if we just sincerely and fervently cry out to God in prayer. Yes, as Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, let us hold fast our profession of faith. For we have a faithful high priest that can even be touched with the very feelings of our infirmities. For he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, come boldly. The great invitation, he's inviting you and I to come boldly unto his throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Don't we all need the mercy of God? Don't we all need, in these challenging days and times that we live in, grace to help in time of need? So therefore, we must not let feelings of powerlessness sap our commitment in prayer, but let us draw freely and frequently on the great privilege and power of prayer. For God has promised his overcoming resurrection power to all of us as his believing children who seek to know him, obey his word, and walk intimately and victoriously with him in his strength, in his sufficient grace for our every need. Another call to fervent and faithful prayer is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. In the Amplified, it says, be careful, do not fret or be anxious for anything, but in everything and in every circumstance, by prayer and supplication or petition or definite request, with thanksgiving, let's not forget that in our prayer life, with thanksgiving, continue to let your requests be made known unto God in prayer. Now let's go back to Ephesians 1:15 to 23. As the commentary said, we can divide these verses into three different sections. The first section is verses 15 and 16. First of all, in verse 15, Paul thanks God for the believers there at Ephesus and for their faith in the Lord Jesus and for their love to all the saints. I too thank God for the body of Christ here at Wilmersdorf. Don and I pray regularly for you. I don't think a day goes by that we don't mention the Wilmersdorf church leadership and the body of Christ serving here. This cup looks half empty to me. Is that true? If it is, I would like a fresh cup of water. I don't know if I've shared here before, but I am a thirsty preacher. And I would like a... thank you, Mark. My Mark has been such a blessing to me in my life, including yesterday. He even helped me out for a couple hours. Thank you, Mark. So first of all, Paul teaches us that we must believe or trust in God. He talks about the faith of the Ephesian people here. And one of the foundation pieces of fervent, effective prayer is faith or trust in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to him must believe or have faith that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes, God rewards those that diligently seek him. God will not let you down. His promises are true. His promises are faithful. If we put our faith and trust in him, are we diligently putting our faith and trust in God and diligently seeking to know and do his will? Reminds me on the fact of the importance of faith and trust and belief in God. Reminds me of the story when Jesus and Peter, James, and John were coming down the mountain from the Mount of Transfiguration. The rest of his disciples were down there trying to deal with casting out the spirit of a lunatic man, and were frustrated because it wasn't working. And they asked Christ Jesus to get involved. And Jesus responded to the father of the lunatic child and said, Jesus said to the father of the lunatic, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou me with my unbelief. Yes, when you and I need a miracle answer to prayer at times, we need to likewise cry out to God. Lord, yes, I believe that you can do this, that you can answer this prayer. But God, help me with my unbelief. Just be honest enough to admit that we have unbelief. And we need his grace at that time to empower us to have faith in God, to believe in God and in his power. Wow, he even put ice in it. Did you see that? Thank you. The second part we see in this verse, that's an important foundational part of effectual fervent prayer life, is it's important to remember that our love for other believers is a fruit of our saving faith in Christ Jesus. We all know the two great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Yes, faith and trust in God and our love for all the saints is an important base or foundation for a powerful and effective prayer life. In verse 16, we see Paul says he ceases not to thank God for each one in his prayers. Being thankful and having hope is also a vital part of effective prayer life. When we aren't thankful, hope dies. We despair and become critical. We see sorrow. When we look instead on all the marvelous blessings that we enjoy and give thanks to God, we feel his love, joy, hope, and peace. So when we face difficult and even tragic things in life, it's so important to focus on being thankful. Yes, to have an attitude of gratitude. Let's not cease to thank God for each other in the body of Christ and pray specifically for each other. If we don't know specifics to pray for those within the church family, maybe we can move more into each other's lives to learn specific things to pray for them. Let's reach out more when we gather after the service rather than talk about the weather so much. Maybe we should ask each other, how can I pray for you today? Or how can I pray for you this next week? I recall with fond memories our youth group Wednesday evening services when I was growing up many years ago. I won't tell you how many. We always closed our Wednesday evening service with this chorus as we stood. I need the prayers of those I love while traveling or life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, that I may true and faithful be. I need the prayers of those I love. Like Chris shared in the opening, let's just be humble enough to say, I need your prayers, brother and sister. I can't walk this journey of life on my own. I need your prayers to encourage me to be faithful and true to my commitment to be a child of God and to walk in obedience, victorious by his power. The second section of Ephesians 1:15 to 23 here is in verses 17 through 19. And here is Paul's prayer request for the church brothers and sisters at Ephesus. His prayer request is that as believers, God would grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation or insight into the mysteries and secrets of the deep and intimate knowledge of God, so that we can grasp the greatness of our hope and inheritance in Christ Jesus. Now this continues to teach us how to pray for each other. We are all so in need of wisdom, discernment, knowledge, and understanding, aren't we? These are the specific prayer requests that we can pray for each other daily. Remember James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally or ungrudgingly, and upbraideth not, or without reproach or fault finding, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Yes, we all long for wisdom and understanding and revelation and insight and discernment into the deep things of God. Truly, that is the very things that will make our personal lives, our family life, and our church life strong. For us all to pursue a deep intimacy and daily walk of obedience with God the Father. Andrew Murray once said, "Little of the word with little prayer is death to the spiritual life. Much of the word but little prayer gives a sickly life. Much prayer with little of the word gives just emotional life. But a full measure of both the word and prayer each day gives a healthy and powerful life." Remember, the Word of God is wisdom. We receive wisdom how? By reading, meditating, memorizing, and applying God's Word into our hearts, lives, and relationship. Yes, that's the secret to deeper revelation of wisdom, insight, understanding, and revelation in our daily walk with God. Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom and the reward of wisdom. So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Take the time to read a few verses there on wisdom. Proverbs 2, 1 through 7. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words," the importance of receiving God's word, "and hide my commandments with thee," hide them in our hearts that we might not sin against him. Verse 2, "so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek wisdom as for silver and search for skillful and godly wisdom, as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of our omniscient God." After all, what does Scripture say? The beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." So verse 1 here teaches us that we are to treasure or value the wisdom of God's word. Yes, it's so important that each one of us prioritize the reading, meditating, memorizing, and applying God's word of truth to our lives. Verse 2, "When we properly value wisdom, then our ears and minds are captivated by it." So, what are you and I listening to and applying to our heart? There are so many voices screaming, for our attention in today's world of technology. Verse 3, God calls us to cry out for knowledge and discernment, to sort out all the voices of our world around us, and to understand the results or consequences of what we listen to, what we prioritize, what we participate in, and follow after in our daily walk of life. Yes, this shows a passionate plea of one who is desperate to know and wisely apply the truth of God's word to our life and relationships. Verse 4 teaches us that we are to seek for wisdom as for silver, and for search for it as for a hidden treasure. Remember Jesus' parables in Matthew of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, where he taught that the kingdom of God requires us to what? Sell all to buy the true eternal riches and treasures of wisdom, understanding, and revelation in knowing and walking with him. Just stop and consider all the time and effort we put forth to seek and search for temporal values and temporal things, such as money and earthly treasures in our world today. The question is, are you and I prioritizing our seeking and searching for the wisdom and understanding of God and his word, and for discernment and revelation on how to live for him in our culture and world today? Verse 5 of Proverbs 2, which says, only as we thus seek and search for the truth and direction of God's wisdom will we reverently fear the Lord and find the knowledge or deep things of God that Paul was praying for the believers at Ephesus and each one of us to experience. Verse 6 says, the Lord is the source of all wisdom, for from the words of truth comes knowledge and understanding. So the call for us all is to value wisdom, to seek for it as for silver and hidden treasures. So let's pray for each other in our search and seeking after wisdom, insight, understanding, discernment, to know and to obediently walk in hand in hand with God himself, and to care for each other in loving ways. Then in verse 18, back on Ephesians 1:18, Paul goes on to pray. Why do you think Paul prayed so earnestly in verse 18? He prayed that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Why do you think Paul prayed so earnestly that as believers we would have wisdom and insight and understanding to grasp the greatness of the hope and the inheritance that we have, which is ours in Christ Jesus? Just that word inheritance should cause our eyes to light up, right? If you get the news that you are a part of an inheritance of a relative or a friend or whatever, don't you get pretty excited about it? Well, here Paul is asking us to base our fervent prayers on the glorious living hope that we have and the inheritance that is ours in Christ Jesus. I believe it's because he knew how crucial, important, and powerful wisdom and understanding is for us to grasp, comprehend, claim, and experience our living hope to walk in victory. He knew how important it was for us to gain this and keep on keeping on in our relationship and walk with God through all of life's difficulties, trials, pain, sorrows, and challenges. Hope is a thread we can grasp onto when struggling in life's battles as we fervently cry out to God for wisdom. For we know that God is with us as he promises never to leave us or forsake us. And as the hymn says, never to leave us alone. No, never alone. Paul knew we needed this. Let's seek after a deeper understanding of our hope and inheritance in Christ, for power and strength to walk in victory. In Hebrews 6, 17 through 19, I won't take time to turn to that, but that teaches us also on the power of our glorious living hope. The Amplified would say, we who have fled to Him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and lay hold fast on the hope that is given and set before us. Verse 19, now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. A hope that will not give away ever, but that reaches further and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil, the mercy seat of the Holy of Holies, where Jesus has entered in for us in advance of becoming our faithful high priest forever, interceding and pleading on our behalf. Are we grasping that glorious hope as the sure and steadfast anchor of our eternal soul? This reminds me of that hymn, will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Yes, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure, even while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in my Savior's love. Like Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers, that's my prayer for each one of you today, that each one of us would truly experience spiritual wisdom and understanding based on this, our glorious living hope. So to know God deeply and to relate and walk with Him victoriously comes through asking, seeking, and knocking in fervent, powerful prayer. May God help us. Then verse 18 calls us to know God and to grasp that the power of our glorious living hope is what turns the floodlights of our understanding on in the eyes of our heart. As we prioritize the reading, meditating, memorizing, and applying God's Word, as we grasp that glorious living hope that we have, that is all based on the third section of this prayer, where Paul prays for the Ephesian believers that they would be enlightened by, to know and to grasp the exceeding greatness of God's mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His Father's at His right hand in heavenly places, far, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name in this age and the age to come for all eternity. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, or Master, to the glory and honor and worship of God the Father. I am always so thankful for the great and awesome resurrection power that raised Christ Jesus from the grave and lifted Him back to the glory at God's right hand. And that same power, brothers and sisters, this morning, is given to each and every one of us as believers at the time of our salvation through the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us as His child and who is always available to us every moment of our lives, no matter what we are facing. Yes, there are times in my life when I declare and cry out to God, my Father, I need that resurrection power. I trust in that resurrection power to give me victory and freedom from a temptation or a difficult situation I'm facing. So again, remember, the same power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us today and to walk in victory in whatever difficulty any one of us are facing. So yes, let's have faith and trust in God. Let's have love for God with all our soul, mind, and strength, and for each other. Let's pray for each other that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation or insights into deeply and intimately knowing God in such a way that we can grasp the greatness of our hope and inheritance in Christ Jesus, and that we would pray for one another to be enlightened by and to know and to grasp the exceeding greatness of God's mighty resurrection power, which is available to all of us. May God help us. Let's pray. Our Father, first of all, we acknowledge you as our God and Father, as on the throne, in control, sovereign, ruling over all holy, almighty, all-powerful God, yet you're a personal God who hears, who cares, who calls us to even come boldly into your very throne through or because of the shed blood of Christ our Savior, to receive your mercy and grace to help in time of need. Father, I thank you for each one in this audience this morning. You know our individual needs and concerns and prayer requests. Father, I pray that even above all, that you would give us that spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge and revelation from your word to be a faithful light and witness in our world today. God, we know that our world is in such a mess that evil seems to be abounding all around us. So may we be faithful in shining that light, in sharing the reason for the hope that we have within us. God, I just pray a special blessing upon the leadership here at Womelsdorf and each member. And may we indeed be faithful and true to you, so that we can someday hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.